And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is draft day for the National Football League. First round action starting at 7 o'clock tonight. We all remember a year ago today when it was in our fine city and the crowds that were here ascending on Broadway. And boy, little did we know what kind of night and weekend we were in for. Darren McFarland, that's me here down in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe.
East side.
In Bellevue on the west side of town. Marquise Munson back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. The Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Guys, how we doing?
Doing well. Doing well. I've had a lot of people put out the different pictures and sights and sounds from last year's draft. It brings back great memories. This is going to be a great contrast tonight, but it's still such a great feeling to have an event, right? Something to look forward to put the sports channel on, have something going on. So that's a good thing. But guys, I was reminded of one thing, not just the great sounds, the great sights, and I can remember being in the rain in that mass of humanity during the first round before we were nice enough to get invited backstage to take in a little bit of something there. That's something I'll never forget. But I also will never forget the bridesmaids party and the TV piece that was put out there. One of the greatest pieces of all time about the events of last year, where the bridesmaids were so disappointed that they didn't have the full run of downtown because of all the crazy fans that came into town.
Nobody told us about this draft thing. Yeah, I'd like somebody to do a follow-up with her, see how things are going.
We might need to play a clip of that. Tatum Everett retweeted it. I can't remember. Her colleague at Fox was the one that put together the piece. I actually tweeted it out, at least a picture from it. But we need to find that clip because it is priceless. It's something right out of Saturday Night Live.
I know. And our reaction, of course, is how do you not know that? But there are some people that just don't care, and they just, you know, they don't even look at that stuff and
not thinking ahead.
It's not to be Debbie Downer, but it's like it's just crazy to think about a year ago and all the people in our city and then now everything going on in our world and just a difference a year can make. But here we are. It's going to be another historic night for the draft as they do everything virtually, and I'm looking forward to it. I know ESPN's been showing a bunch of old drafts. The 05 draft is on right now, so Titans fans, go say hello to Pac-Man. But this is going to be a fun night, a fun day. We just did our mock draft, the whole 9 o'clock hour on the rundown, so had a lot of fun with that with Marquise, Jared, and Ryan. So let's just have some fun today.
Now, has Pac-Man been drafted yet on TV?
I don't know. I don't have it on.
Because I got to be honest, and Darren, I don't know if you'll back me up. I'll watch some of the draft tonight. I don't know if I'll watch it wire to wire, but I will not watch an old draft.
I'm the same way. Like I haven't had
old
this
games.
On.
Like I'll flip on. Like yesterday. They had a lot of good games on. I'll watch pieces of those games. Like I'm in on that. That really has really helped me get through it. Whereas you know. But I will not watch an old draft.
Willie Donick giving us a preview of what could happen tonight during the actual draft.
Yeah, good.
little breakup.
Who did you say was showing an old draft? Where was it?
It's on ESPN2.
ESPN2, I think.
Yeah. The 05 draft. And Jared said earlier he was watching the 89 draft. The 89 draft. It was.
I was watching that. They were showing that on ESPN the other night.
Yeah,
that was a couple nights ago.
So they've shown some old drafts. So that's. I mean, that's cool and everything. But I'm with Willie. I'm not sitting there watching that.
No, that's not.
They need programming.
That's not. That's certainly not Willie's cup of tea. But there's a lot of people who will.
I just turned it on. They are at the. Bears. The Bears are on the clock. With the fourth overall pick.
All right, I've got a confession to make.
Oh.
Right, Pac-Man was what, fifth or sixth?
He was fifth.
Yep. No. Wasn't fifth, was he?
That's oh, there it is.
Fifth or sixth?
I thought he was fifth.
He's coming up. He hasn't been picked yet. So if you want to watch Pac-Man go up to the podium,
I just got
you can
to
see it.
And he doesn't do anything crazy at the draft, if I remember.
It's weird just seeing some of these old
he was sixth.
Analysts. Sixth. Yeah, because Tampa.
Cadillac Williams.
That's right.
Went fifth.
Right.
Were you getting ready to call him Tank Williams?
I believe this is Cedric Benson.
No, I wasn't.
Well, the Cedric Benson was four, yeah. It was, by the way, it was not a very good draft.
So we're about to see Benson get picked and then Williams.
Ronnie Brown, Braylon Edwards, Cedric Benson, Cadillac Williams were the picks before the Titans. Before Alex Smith went one, but yikes. Not a good draft. Troy Williamson after Pac-Man Jones. Man, you talking about a bad draft. Those were not good picks.
But how about the talent of the Auburn backfield? Two guys from the same backfield in the first five picks.
Yeah.
First four picks.
Mm-hmm.
No, five picks.
First five picks. The confession that I have to make is I was planning on saving the last two episodes for this weekend, and I just could not take – I am going to take tonight off, even though – I haven't done it to this point, but I am taking tonight off for the draft. So I have one episode left before I'm done with Ozark. I was going to try to spread this out.
I don't think you'll be able to resist.
I know. I will be starting
Ozark this weekend.
I will say this. All right. I'll admit that I think episode 9 was one of the slowest episodes for me of all the seasons. I was disappointed.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Last night, didn't enjoy
episode 9.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought
9.
That was absolutely gut-wrenching. That was gut-wrenching.
Didn't love it
episode
at all.
Episode 9.
It's one of my least
favorite
episodes.
I thought
that
episodes. Was one of the best ones.
Really?
Wow. I thought it was one of the best. Oh, yeah.
Now the big question is,
gut-wrenching.
Will I be able to hold out for the final episode, or am I just going to cave like I've already been doing?
You're going to cave.
I think you're going to cave.
I know. I think
you're going to cave.
I think I am too. I've got to get to the end. I can't. I haven't taken a night off since I started, so it's going to be really hard. But I was disappointed in 9. I can't believe you liked it so much. It's like the first time I really felt disappointed.
Oh, my gosh.
With an episode.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can't give away any spoilers, but
I know.
Just
I don't want to say
yourself
anything.
In. Laura Linney's shoes. Put yourself in her shoes, and you tell me that's not gut-wrenching. That was really well done, I thought.
I know. But, gosh, I mean, what do you, without talking about it, it's like, what do you do? It's like, it's either
can't,
one.
You can't talk about it. You can't.
Both options are really bad. Really bad, right? Both options. Because.
Of course.
C is not an option. You might think it's an option. It's not an option, as they know. It's not an option, right? So it's A or B, and both are
could
bad,
you have done what
options.
She did?
Oh,
could you have done what she did?
I don't think so. No,
I just no way.
No.
But maybe I could. I don't know. I don't
well,
think so.
Well, it depends. Like I said, that the other option is, that's a lot to chew on. That's way
it's
more to
not
chew
good.
On.
It's probably worse.
It is worse.
Probably worse.
Yeah. The other option is worse.
It's worse. Yeah.
Right? The other option is definitely worse.
Yep. And the question is, do you feel like there's any chance for an option C?
No. No, C is not going to.
And she thought
C is
no.
not an option. Yeah, C is not an option. All right, I think
well,
Marquise
that's what she arrived at. So that's
yep. There's no doubt.
But see that. So that's why you can't tell me that was a boring episode. To me, that is a great thing. We could do a whole show on that. Once Chase and Marquise get up to speed and watch this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just finished The Wire yesterday. I had to watch four episodes just to get by the whole. Final season yesterday, so I finally finished it.
Wow, that's a big time performance to watch four.
Yes, because I think I was on episode 7 starting yesterday, so I watched 7, 8, 9, and 10. And 10 is like an hour and 30 minutes. So yeah, I spent most of my time watching The Wire yesterday.
Okay,
because I wanted to finish before the draft because I knew
this all of the seasons. How many?
No. I've watched all. No, this is the final season. I've watched seasons like in spurts to this week, but no, I'm finished.
But there's a bunch of seasons, aren't there? How many seasons are
there? It's like five. I've been watching it for like a month now, so I'm finally done. So The Wire's complete. That's checked off the list. So Ozark could be next.
Ozark could be.
But yeah.
Ozark should be.
Ozark is huge. Has anyone watched Waco? That's on Netflix. I keep seeing previews for that, and it looks good too.
No.
But
I haven't watched that one. Let me throw one out to you, Darren, for a future one. And I can tell you that every Predator traveling party person will endorse this one, guys and gals. Peaky Blinders. Have you watched that one yet?
No.
I have not.
Willie, I don't watch anything. If it wasn't for, you know,
okay,
us being at home, I wouldn't be watching anything. I don't watch shows.
I'm going to make the recommendation for Darren, knowing him the way I do, and Chase, Marquise, I think you guys will be right in there on this one. Peaky Blinders, season one, start if you – It's a little bit like Ozark in a very, very different setting, different time, but same kind of principles.
Well,
a little Godfather theme to it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same kind of dynamic, right? You got a lot of forces working, powerful forces, strong personalities, rivals, backstabbing. We got a lot going on there. So Peaky Blinders, I'm going to say you guys will – we'll dig.
Okay. I like it. We got into a lot of shows yesterday with Predators forward Craig Smith. But when we come back, we're heading to Cincinnati. They're on the clock, and a former Titan linebacker will join us. Rocky Boyman. We'll talk about he's doing radio in Cincinnati. We're going to find out what's the latest on the number one pick and a little bit about the Bengals. And we'll talk with Rocky. We'll go down memory lane with him. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we watch on ESPN2 right now the 2005 NFL Draft. The Bears just made their pick. I'm sorry, the Bucks just made their pick with Cadillac Williams, and I believe it was that. They're either at 4 or 5.
That was 5.
That was 5. So the Titans are next, right? Titans are up next with the 6th pick in the draft, and our next guest remembers that pick because he actually played with that pick. Rocky Boyman, who was also a pick by the Titans a couple years earlier, a linebacker out of Notre Dame, now doing radio in Cincinnati, is on the line with this former Titans linebacker. Rocky, how you doing?
You said just a few years ago. I can't believe it was when I was drafted. Wow.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Golly, yeah.
Do you remember who the Titans are getting ready to select in that 05 draft with the 6th pick?
05. Was it wasn't Ben Troop, was it?
It was a guy that was really quiet in your locker room. Very quiet guy.
And
humble.
Played in the city you're in.
Didn't say much.
Oh, Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man Jones, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I could tell you stories that would fill your airwaves for hours.
Oh, please.
We've heard a lot, but I bet you've got more.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Pac was, I mean, he came in and did every wrong thing you're supposed to do as a rookie. And, you know, I think because of some of the things he did early on, we made him pay for it at Fleming's Steakhouse with a very, very large bill. But, you know, as time went on, man, he kind of, you know, earned his stripes a little bit and became one of the guys. And then, you know, I live here in Cincinnati and do sports and Bengals coverage in Cincinnati. He comes and plays for the Bengals. And I don't know, he and I always had a great relationship. I think it was because I didn't take any of his crap. So when he'd be yelling at all of us to block for him on punt return team, I'd tell him to, you know, shove it
stick
somewhere,
it.
All that. And I think he respected that because he knew I was going to go out and do my job for him. You know what I mean? So, nevertheless, I think through all the ups and downs and twists and turns of his career, I think it ended up pretty well for him.
Rocky, did he actually remember you being a teammate of his? Because kind of the running joke with the media is when some of the former Titans players were in the media, he didn't know who was who. And I won't name any names, but – you know, he got some guys confused, like Neil O'Donnell and Frank Wycheck and some others. So did he even remember you being a teammate of his?
No, he did. Like I said, he always, like, anytime we'd be in a vendor, he'd always, like, single me out and come over and we'd talk. And and all that. For whatever odd reason, we had a good relationship. And I always thought he had a very sweetheart side to him. He just had that demon deep down inside him too, and he had a wick that was about a centimeter long, and if the wrong thing ignited it, he would go off and wouldn't be very good. But there was definitely a sweet side to him, and he and I, for whatever reason, really got along well and liked and respected each other.
Is this a slam dunk tonight? Are they already hashing out the terms? Is this a done deal? Is the young man who had a historical season at LSU, we watched win a national championship, going to be the next Bengals starting quarterback?
Yes, every indication I've gotten internally and from, you know, the sources and all that say, I understand the Dolphins were dangling some picks out there, but the Bengals reportedly told them in so many words, no, we're good. And I think it's a excellent call. Now, look, I think you should consider any and all offers. Should some just totally ridiculous offer come out there with, you know, when five picks in the first and second round, do you look at that? Yeah, but A, I hope that doesn't happen because I want the Bengals to take this kid because I think he's really, really good. And ultimately, I don't think that offer is going to be there. Joe Burrow, by about 8:15 tonight, is going to be a Cincinnati Bengal.
Well, I know you do college football stuff. You do stuff on Saturdays and Sundays during the football season. And as we just talked about, also, you're hosting a show every day there in Cincinnati. And so I just want to know through your eyes, when you obviously watch a lot of college football, I don't know how much you got to put your eyes on Joe Burrow, but what do you see when you see him?
You know, look, he's got all the traits, and I could rattle them off, but I try to look at a player, especially a quarterback, as, you know, how would I look at him if I was still playing, right? If I was playing linebacker, what quarterbacks did I hate going against? Which ones was I okay going against? You know, I never feared quarterbacks that had super strong arms. I never even really feared, you know, run-first quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks who could anticipate and adapt in a split second were the ones that I really, really feared going into on a Sunday. You know, the ones where you threw a complex blitz or a coverage or some sort of something at them that they hadn't seen all year, or you hadn't even put on tape all year, and they could figure it out. And, you know, you go into the game, you're like, okay, when we throw this coverage out there, boy, this is really going to trick them. And they could just adapt split second and defeat that coverage or defeat that blitz. And you walk back to the huddle like, man, that was our big coverage, and we just got beat. You know, those kind of guys. And I think Joe Burrow has that, you know, skill set in his head where he can anticipate things, he can anticipate the rush, and if, you know, the defense gives him some sort of crazy look, he knows where to go with the football. I think quick decision making, in my opinion, is the be all end all when it comes to quarterback traits, and I think he has that.
Last thing on my end, Rocky, a couple hours up north of your city, a couple of guys that are also projected to go right after Cincinnati's pick. Just want to know what you think of, are these just slam dunk guys? What do you think, two guys on the side of the ball that you played, and Chase Young and that fine cornerback, both of those guys from Ohio State, what do you think of them?
Both, you know, obviously, you know, transcendent players, especially Chase Young. I mean, I remember going up and, you know, watching spring ball up there when he was young, and, you know, he looked like a grown man already. You know what I mean? That kind of player. He's super exceptional. And in the cornerback, you know, in a cornerback in a draft where there's not many top talented guys, you know, Okuda and Henderson is kind of stand near the top, and I think he's one of them. You also got to consider, you know, he played for, you know, Kerry Combs for a bunch of years up at Ohio State, who I think is one of the most respected and best assistant college football coaches in the land. He also obviously played for Urban Meyer and all those coaches they have up there. So you're getting a guy that, you know, loves football, which is always, I tell every talk show I'm on, like when they ask me, what's the number one quality you want in any pick? My number one is always, does the guy love football, not what football brings him? And I think all those guys at Ohio State, I know Urban Meyer recruited guys that loved, slept, eat, and breathed football. That's what they want, and that's what they got in those guys up there.
Talking to former Titan, Rocky Boyman, now a radio analyst. Of course, a college football analyst at ESPN, working up in Cincinnati. So, Rocky, let's get your story from draft night. You know, we all have these images of, you know, the guy walking up to the podium in the first round. What about for a more of a mid-round guy like you? Where were you? Who was with you? Who called you first?
Yeah, so this was back, guys, if you remember, that when the draft was on Saturday and Sunday, and rounds one through three were on Saturday, and then four through seven were on Sunday there. And I remember this. Some guys are always like, oh, I didn't watch the draft, and I went hunting, or I went driving around. No, I watched every single stinking damn pick that went before me, and if a linebacker went before me, I cursed everybody in the room, which were my parents. And I remember my mom had a yellow pad, and we wrote down every pick as it went on down through the list. And look, you see a linebacker go ahead of you that you think you're better than, it rubs you the wrong way a little bit. But I was sitting in this small house, in a little tiny house in Ross, Ohio. It was just my mom, my dad, and my sister. And then just kind of out of nowhere, the phone rang, and I looked at it, and it was a 615 area code, which at the time I didn't even know what that was. And I answered the phone, and I think it was either Floyd Reese or Jeff Fisher. I can't remember because I was so excited. And the voice said, "Hey, Rocky, how you doing? So we're going to go ahead and pick you here." And I'm pointing to the screen to my parents because they're like, "Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?" And I'm pointing to the TV screen like, "Look, it's about to be announced," like that. And then, guys, I can. My dad is a man's man, right? Tough guy. I've probably seen him cry 4 or 5 times in my life. And that was one of them when, wow. He broke down. And my mom, on the living room floor there, it was just cool to see because he'd been with me. My parents have been with me my entire life, playing football and helped me and work with me and just to kind of be there with them. And then obviously to get to go to a great organization like Tennessee was something special, one of the top moments of my life, guys.
Did you do a conference call with the media? Did you do any one-on-ones? What was that part of it like last night? Because I know what we do as a matter of routine. We try to catch up with as many of the draft picks as we can in the days after the draft. What was that part like for you?
Yeah, I think it was like the first, just that day it was a lot of, local here in Cincinnati. The local kid got drafted. He's going to Tennessee. Then I believe in the next coming days, I talk with, Jim Wyatt and some of the guys on radio. I can't exactly remember, who they were. And maybe Mike Keith might have been one of them. I'm not sure. But, started doing the rounds. And, it's obviously a very surreal experience when you're going through something like that as a young kid.
So let's fast forward to today. You're an analyst now. You're doing these radio shows. Has it been mostly draft? How have you tried to get creative while we're in this time?
Yeah, my show, guys, is really different. I'm 3 to 6, drive time is Yeti and Rocky show, and we do some sports, and obviously we've been covering a lot this week, but we do a lot of non-sports and just human interest and you name it, kind of whatever the big things are talking about and how it relates to everybody, we do a lot of that. Obviously this week, been doing a lot of drafts coverage and just trying to talk to as many local guys and folks that have been there. Obviously I've been there, but we've been discussing that, and I'll just kind of throw this out there. One of the interesting things to me tonight in the draft is, obviously it's the TV numbers are probably going to just break records, right? I think last year there was 6.1 million viewers. That was the largest of all time for any draft, and there's been no sports. So our star for it, I will say this, and I've been discussing this with listeners this week. I'm wondering the energy level, right? I'm in TV, so I know the thing that makes a great television product is when there's energy, right? Energy in the stands, energy from the fan base. There can be the most exciting football game in the world, and if there's 1,500 people there, no one cares, right? So can the NFL, can ESPN, can everybody involved in that find a way to bring the energy? Is that able to happen when everybody's talking through computers and Zoom and hiccups and internet feeds and all that? Will we get that visceral feel of the draft? Will we get the pictures and the footage of the guys, crying with their parents and all that? Will it be the same? I don't know. I pray to God that we get that. But I think to me that's one of the most interesting things and something we've been talking about this week here on my show.
We're talking to Rocky Boyman, here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And so, as we know, the first overall pick will be Joe Burrow. That'll be the quarterback of the Bengals. So, in your opinion, what does that mean for Andy Dalton?
Well, it's a million-dollar question, and it's something that's been discussed really since mid-last season when the Bengals benched him for about 3 weeks. And right then it was pretty much determined, you know, he wasn't going to be the quarterback of the future. Now, you don't really know, you know, exactly what to believe in terms of what the Bengals were offered in terms of a trade pick and all that sort of stuff. If it was anything, you know, around a second or third pick and or second or third round pick and the Bengals didn't accept that, I think they're absolutely nuts. I mean, look, we live in a world where Rob Gronkowski, I know he's been out of football for a year, but he went for a fourth round pick, you know. So the Bengals are, and Bengals fans are waiting on two first round picks to be offered for Andy Dalton or a second round pick, even a third round pick. I think they're kind of crazy. I think the best chance of happening is going to be the Bengals are kind of have to basically release him, and by doing that, they'll save $17.7 million off their cap. And they'll have some money to work with and sign some guys and all that sort of thing. I hope they get something for him, but I think the reality may be just how the situation has worked out that they may just have to go ahead and release him. I don't see any reason why he should be a Cincinnati Bengal next year. I desire for him to go on to another organization and have a ton of success. He's a great player, great kid, great, you know, all that. I want him to have success. But I think we should start brand new with a new quarterback and a new regime, not the old.
So you, in your mind, you still believe that he could be a starter in this league, whether it's for a year or a couple of years?
Absolutely. I think he certainly could be. And look, here's the other thing, too. Do the Bengals hang on to him? Do they wait, you know, in getting a training camp and then, you know, God forbid some team, you know, quarterback goes down with an ACL injury and they get real desperate and they got to, you know, make some sort of blockbuster deal? Maybe that happens, but he's certainly a starting caliber quarterback. He's smart. I just think, look, change of scenery is good for all of us sometimes, right? I think we've all been in that scenario situation where it's like, God, we're doing what we can, we're doing well, but, you know, we just need a new fresh start. And I think the Bengals could use a fresh start from Dalton, and Dalton could use a fresh start from them.
So with Burrow going number one overall, right now they don't have any other picks in the first round. So how would you address some of the other needs that the Bengals have? What are some of the other needs that they have?
How long do you got? there's a lot. But it is telling that even with all the – I mean, the Bengals spent $140 million in free agency and got a bunch of good guys, you know, DJ Reader and Von Bell, and especially solidified the defense. But, you know, Vegas is still picking them for six wins. So there's some holes on this roster. I think, is wide receiver a need on this team? No, but I just think, you know, you're drafting – I think a big theme of this draft should be let's get Joe Burrow and make him comfortable and set him up for success. So I think there's going to be a ton of talent in the second and third round, the wide receiver position. I think the Bengals certainly get somebody there. You could make a case – I could make a case for a tight end. You know, the Notre Dame kid, you know, Cole Kmet is a good player that I think could fit well. I also think that, you know, offensive line is for the past 4 or 5 years, I guess 3 or 4 years, I should say, been a big detriment to this team. You know, if a Josh Jones, a kid out of Houston, happens to fall, is that something they consider in the second round there? Linebacker is a position the Bengals have overlooked. I think they've drafted two guys in the first or second round in since 2000. I mean, it's they always put off the linebacker position. Ah, well, we'll get somebody later and later, and usually the later round picks don't work out. I'd love to see him get a Jordan Brooks and consider him. He's my favorite linebacker in the draft. I covered him for ESPN last year, and you know, if he's around there with that number 33, I think that's a strong consideration as well.
Rocky, this is the last one for me. The biggest thing, in my opinion, with any player, but especially the quarterback, and I know Peyton Manning talked about this with his rookie season and, you know, all the losses and interceptions and things like that, is when you've come from a culture of winning so much and you haven't lost a lot, it's learning how to lose and learning how to take that and be able to learn from those losses. In your mind, is that going to be the biggest obstacle for Joe Burrow as he takes over?
I don't think so, because one of the main things I like about Joe Burrow is that he hasn't been, you know, a three-year starter, had no adversity at all. And this guy was essentially, you know, couldn't make it at Ohio State, or wasn't recruited that, you know, that well, didn't make it Ohio State, and, you know, and kind of had a big chip on his shoulder from there. So I like a guy that's had a bunch of adversity, and he's going to face a bunch of adversity here in Cincinnati early on. So I think that part about his character is one of the main things I like about him and makes him fit well here in Cincinnati.
The Titans just took Adam Jones, so it is official. Pac-Man is indeed coming to Nashville. By the way, did you bring up Ben Troop at the beginning, Rocky, when I was asking you that? Did you say Ben
Troop? I did. That was maybe 04, right?
Yeah, it was 04. We had him on yesterday. He was a second-round pick in 04. He's doing radio down in Georgia, so it's cool to see a lot of the former Titans players doing some radio now. I like that.
Nice. Love it.
Hey, thanks for doing this, as always. Always good to catch up with you. Have fun with this draft, and continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great day, all right?
All right, you do the same. That is former Titans linebacker Rocky Boyman. He was drafted in the fourth round in the 2002 draft by one Floyd Reese. He is a college football analyst on ESPN, as you just heard, has a radio show, the Eddie and Rocky Show, from 3 to 6 on WLW there in Cincinnati. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Always good to catch up with Rocky Boyman. I enjoy him. Good conversation. So it's done. Joe Burrow, kind of like when we did this last year, sitting downtown on 2nd Avenue, or on Broadway, excuse me, doing the show leading up to the first round. And who did we – oh, Arizona. We went out to Arizona, and we talked to someone who covers the Cardinals, and they said, yeah, it's done. Kyler Murray, you don't listen to anything, it's done. Kyler Murray's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And there you go. Kyler Murray last year and Rocky Boyman telling us nothing to see here. It is indeed going to be Joe Burrow, and he likes the pick. I also thought it was interesting.
Well, Zach Taylor basically said to Seth Greenberg yesterday, or to Seth Greenberg, Mike Greenberg. I'm getting my Greenbergs mixed up on ESPN. But,
I was like, why is Seth
Mike's
talking
got a
about
little
football?
More hair than
he
Seth,
said, listen,
I
got my Cincinnati season tickets to watch the Bearcats play hoops. And then, yeah, we're taking Burrow. That was the conversation.
But Zach Taylor, he didn't shy away from it. He basically said it. He said, well, we'll make it official tomorrow night. But, I mean, he answered all the questions about Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. And he went as far as you can say it without saying it's official.
So you guys did a first-round mock draft in the rundown in the 9 o'clock hour?
Yeah, so we had Marquise as a part of it and Jared Stillman as a part of it. I don't know how this happened because this was all random. Ryan randomly selected the draft order. But I had the number one overall pick. I had Miami at 5. I had Jacksonville at 9 in the Titans division. I had the Cowboys at 17. I had the Titans at 29. So I had some interesting picks to make, for sure. I did go Joe Burrow, number one overall. No doubter there. So, and Chase Young, Jared took him for Washington, second overall. Jeff Okuda went to Detroit. Tristan Wirfs went to the Giants, fourth overall. And with the 5th overall pick with Miami, Tua Tagovailoa.
Yep.
So...
I like it. I don't believe all the stuff that Tua's not going to go to, or that Miami's going to get Herbert. I don't believe it. I believe that, look, all that tanking for Tua, all that was real, and they're going to get their guy. Even if they have to trade up, they're going to get their guy. And I just believe, once again, if the Chargers get Tua, I'm going to say, as I've screamed before, why does it always happen in Green Bay and Indianapolis and now – the Chargers, whether they're in San Diego or L.A., why do they keep getting franchise quarterbacks? And we can't make that happen here where we can, you know, get a guy for like 10 or more years to be a stud quarterback, because that's just not fair. So the Chargers will get to just pick up, you know, Dan Fouts and Phillip Rivers and now, you know, Tua. Here you go. It's just not fair. So I hope he doesn't go to the Chargers.
Well,
just for selfish reasons.
If you're Detroit – or maybe the Giants, but especially Detroit, you have to be just excited right now because Miami and L.A. most likely, I think, are going to be fighting to trade up to that spot.
Agreed.
And so you are going to get a haul if you trade out of that spot, and I truly believe they will. We didn't do trades in our mock draft because there would have been a lot of them, I think, if we had. But I think Detroit is sitting there looking pretty right now because you know that Miami is probably is going to be worried about L.A. behind them trying to trade up. So then they're going to trade up. And that's where I think Tua ultimately ends up going. But they're going to have their – Detroit's going to have their pick because whoever offers up the best package, I think that's who gets Tua. That's the team that gets Tua.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jared took Justin Herbert with the 6th overall pick to L.A. And he admitted, he said, if I had passed on Tua, Tua was going to L.A. So.
Yeah, well, the Chargers are going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, that's, I agree.
That's very clear. I wouldn't draft Herbert at 6. That's just me because I just don't believe he's going to pan out. That's just me. But
do you guys think that?
All right, I got a couple for you. I got a couple for you guys of people or a wild card. I was watching NFL Network this morning. Who's the guy from Princeton that we had on in the sports bar last year? The day after the first round. You remember that?
The guy
Gosh,
from
why
Princeton
am I forgetting his name?
Sports bar?
He's on NFL Network in the morning.
You're talking about
Princeton. He joined us.
No, he was great live in person. You're talking about from the.
I don't remember
the show on NFL Network. Kyle,
I barely
from
remember
the morning
that
show.
Day.
Is it Kyle? Kyle Brandt? Is that his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, Kyle Brandt.
Kyle Brandt, right?
Kyle Brandt. Yeah. So he was on this morning, and they were debating back and forth, and the guy that. And I don't know if he just might be one of the guys trying to come up with smoke screens and different sources. He swears this is not Kyle because Kyle thinks he's full of baloney. He's a big Tua guy. But he says, watch out for Carolina. Carolina wants a quarterback. They might be a wild card to trade up to try to get Tua. You guys buy that?
No. No, I don't. But why would Carolina do that after they just – paid Teddy Bridgewater.
I don't buy it.
Why would Carolina draft a quarterback?
I'm just saying, they found their guy. Don't kill the
they
messenger.
Paid their guy.
Don't kill the messenger. I'm just saying what he told me.
I was
talking to him on NFL Network. I wasn't actually talking. I was listening.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe
he flat out said it.
Jacksonville's a threat. For a quarterback, the Chargers are a threat. I'm thinking of the teams behind Miami, directly behind Miami. Those are the teams that are directly behind Miami that I think are real threats to trade up. I don't believe Carolina, no.
Do you think, and I'm only asking about this team because of their head coach, do you think Vegas could be a threat to trade up?
Do you know what it would take to go from 12 to like 3?
A lot. But, again, I ask that question because Chucky has been known to do silly things.
I don't see it.
I don't think they're in that mode. After signing Mariota, yeah. I think they are hoping between Carr being motivated or Mariota getting a new life that will give them what they need. Mm-hmm. They need players. They need players around those guys. I think that's a bigger problem than the quarterback position.
In our mock draft this morning, Marquise, the resident Raiders fan, and also, of course, Alabama.
I'm going to guess he took somebody from Alabama.
He did.
No way.
He did. He took. Look, it's a good pick. It's a need they have for Marcus Mariota when he takes over, if you believe a lot of the things you hear.
He took probably Jerry Jeudy.
He took Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, it's like a 50-50 chance you guessed that right, Darren. I mean, I almost went Henry Ruggs, too, you know? You may never know. 19th pick could be Henry Ruggs.
Nah, you got to go Jerry Jeudy, man.
Yeah, I do. But CeeDee Lamb was also on the board, and I thought about CeeDee Lamb, too, but I just went with Jerry Jeudy.
I took CeeDee Lamb with the next pick to San Francisco.
Did you just take all Alabama guys?
I actually didn't. I passed up on an Alabama player.
Really?
Because I'm not really buying him. Jedrick Wells, offensive tackle. I took Andrew Thomas instead. I think Andrew Thomas is very underrated. And I don't follow offensive linemen that much.
You think he's underrated?
Well, compared to the other – there's like two players in front of him in this draft. So, I think so.
Okay.
He should have went – because like going into SEC Media Days last year, I thought he was going to be the first offensive tackle off the board.
Yeah, that's
and now all of a sudden he's dropped. You know Tristan – well, you know, he's – climbed over him, and then Jedrick Wells as well. So I thought Andrew Thomas was going to be a perfect pit for the Arizona Cardinals. Hmm.
Interesting. We'll come back and put wrap up the first hour. We're going to head down to South Beach. We're going to head down to Miami to start the second hour and find out exactly what the Dolphins are going to do. Cameron Wolf, who used to cover the Titans, is down there covering Miami. We're going to ask him what it's been like watching Ryan Tannehill lead the Titans to the AFC Championship game. What was the mood down there seeing that? And what exactly are the Dolphins going to do at 5? That's coming up at 11 o'clock. But right now, Willie, you're going to tell us about the good folks at Lee Company.
Well, I can do just that. Lee Company continuing to move forward here and doing their thing. And, yeah, last night got a little cool. So it always should remind you in your house because, listen, you're going to have that feeling one day or another, especially during this time of the year. What do I need? I need air conditioning. I need heating. Do I need to turn the whole thing off? If your system is working properly, it's a very good feeling you have. It's not a good feeling, and I've had it before, when you turn on the switch and something's not right. Well, if that's the case, call Lee Company. They'd be glad to come over and help you out. 615-567-1000. Get it right. And better yet, get on top of it going forward in the long term. That's where their home maintenance plan comes into play. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. Go to that website, find out about the home maintenance plan, the 4 annual checkups, the recommendations, the discounts you get when home repairs need to be made on those 4 systems, plumbing, electric, heating, and cooling. It's a great plan. It's worked for us over the long haul. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.
Working from home during this pandemic, you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app on your phone, or you can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream it from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Don't forget all of your draft coverage right here tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and it'll be on 94.9. So keep that in mind, and all of the draft coverage starting tonight is presented by Wyatt Johnson Ford and your Nashville Ford dealership. Okay, so you did
I was digging the Hammer Time, by the way, Marquise. Shout out to you on that.
I love MC Hammer. Everybody loves MC Hammer.
Good stuff.
They do. So who did you take at 29 since you said you had the Titans pick?
So this, I feel like I accomplished many goals here by taking Christian Fulton from LSU because, A, I'm filling a need with corner because I believe that that's where the Titans need to go if they pick at 29, which I don't believe they're going to do. But like I said, we didn't have trades. So I took Christian Fulton, and Jared absolutely hated it. So the fact that I picked it and he didn't like it, that was a success in my mind. So that's his entire 3 o'clock hour, and that's fine. But I went Fulton. I felt like he was the best available at that position because Trayvon Diggs, who I know some people have put at the Titans at 29, Ryan took him early. 19 with the Raiders, so he was off the board. So I went Fulton.
I like that pick. I think, honestly, Fulton or that kid out of Utah, what is it, Johnson? Those are like two, like if they stay at 29, I think those are two kids that could absolutely be on their radar.
Jalen Johnson went 31st overall to San Francisco. So he went a couple picks after.
There's a couple corners, that have all kind of projected in that 25 or 4 to the end of the first round. The Johnson kid out of Utah, Fulton from LSU, and was it Terrell out of Clemson?
Yep. Terrell went 28.
There's also a Baltimore. What about the kid from TCU? There's another one.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I saw
one.
Joe Rexroad and John Glennon had a mock draft, and they each had corners at 29. One of them was
Jeff
TCU, Gladney, the other
TCU.
From LSU. Yeah. So why, it's interesting to me that it's all so many people are going defensive back.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot available.
It's a need for sure. I understand that. But I would have thought you'd have a few more different choices there. We'll see. But it makes sense for sure. But it seems like everybody's – the consensus is all defensive back. Is that true?
Yeah, there's been a lot of that, sure. And you're right; the guy from TCU is
Jeff
another
Gladney.
One I've seen a lot of mocks having them taken. Yep.
Yeah. So, and another guy that's been in a lot of mocks for the Titans, Ituro Gross Matos from Penn State, an edge rusher. I actually put him, because I had Minnesota's pick at 25, I actually had them go with Gross Matos. And I like him. I think he's probably going to be decent. He's going to end up being a first-round pick, if I had to guess. I just don't know if I like him here. And I just think corner is a bigger need right now. I could be wrong, but I lean towards corner. So that's why I passed. That's why I had him at 25 with Minnesota and then went corner with the Titans at 20.
You know why I don't like him here? Because right now, drafting Penn State guys at that position really hasn't worked out great.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily look at it like that. I see why. I mean, it's the same reason why, you know, you'd be skeptical of a Oregon quarterback. So I get that, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it fits. I don't think he fits what they're doing, what Vrabel's doing.
But
so.
you don't put any stock in, and I get it. Different guys, different. It could be different coach, but at some point, you don't ever put stock in. Like, why don't you think or like Oregon? Think about all the Oregon quarterbacks, and why haven't they been? I mean, is there you think it's just a coincidence that, you know, I don't want to say bust, but they just haven't ever, they haven't lived up to, you know, they haven't lived up to the picks. There's been a lot taken really high, and how's that worked out over the years? Like, is that just a coincidence? Maybe, but like, you don't hold any stock to that at all?
Not really, just because the coaches and the systems change. I mean, I see what you're saying.
Why does that happen though?
I think it's a very big coincidence.
Huh.
I don't
Kelly
know.
Kelly Smith, Joey Harrington, Mariota. I mean, we can go on and on.
Which, I mean, do you call Mariota a bust? I don't know if I call him a bust.
Well, he was the number two pick in the draft, and he's now on his second team.
Right.
So, after 5 years.
But again.
Bust is a strong word. How about didn't live up to the second pick
in
the draft?
Didn't live up.
Not even close.
Yep. Didn't live up. But so. If you look at Oregon quarterbacks historically, is Dan Fouts the last home run?
Look, when you're not when your second pick overall in the NFL draft doesn't sign a second contract with the team that drafted him, what does that tell you about him? I mean,
didn't live up to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's not supposed to happen. That's
well, definitely not a home run. I mean, there's a long way between that and Akili Smith, but.
No, I'm not saying he – I didn't even say the word bust. Bust is strong. Like, Akili Smith was a bust.
Sure.
Joey Harrington was a bust.
That's a bust.
Those were bust picks.
That's a bust.
Right? Joey Harrington was top five, right? Akili Smith was the number one overall pick. And those were bust. You know, I don't know.
And I
bust.
Think Justin Herbert's going to be a bust.
I'll have to see it to believe it.
I don't know – But do you think that should be a fair tag? Like, there's Akili Smith is eons ago compared to Justin Herbert. All those quarterbacks we're talking about played for different coaches, different systems. So I don't know if it's fair to say because they played for Oregon, there's some connection.
That's my thought.
I know, but I get that. It would be the easiest counter for anybody to take because, of course. But why does it happen? I guess that's why I would just say, well, then why does that happen? I mean – Why haven't they worked out? You know, why does that position at that school over decades, why hasn't it worked out?
Well, I mean, for the longest time, wasn't there kind of a people were looking at running backs from Alabama? And then, I mean, look at Ingram has had a pretty good career. Obviously, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, there was a knock on
here.
Alabama kid. Sure.
Running backs. Alabama
How about Nick
running
Saban
backs.
Quarterbacks? Nick Saban quarterbacks.
Yeah.
At any school have really not turned out to, you know, it's not like he's ever had that unbelievable prospect until now, but still he's had a lot of really good quarterbacks that have won a lot of games, but virtually none of them have had a significant career as an NFL starter.
And hypothetically he could end up with two in this draft. I mean, Jalen Hurts, I think you have to count him because he was there longer than Oklahoma. So that in Tua, you know, looking to be a top five pick, obviously time will tell how both of their careers turn out. But yeah, quarterbacks with Nick Saban at Alabama have definitely been, you know, been nothing in the NFL.
We'll come back. Cameron Wolf. We'll head down to Miami, find out what the Dolphins are thinking at 5. We talk with him to kick off the second hour. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.